Friends, I think I found it. I think I did it. I think I found the one thing that is common to all of humanity. I think I know that one experience that connects us all, and it applies to the rich and the poor, to the powerful and the powerless, corporate executives, kings and princes of countries, professional athletes, those on every notch of our political spectrum, race, gender, does not matter. This applies to every single person that I know, and that is this: that when a parent or a grandparent calls you by your full name, you know something is up. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how many companies you run. I don't care how big and strong you are. When mama uses all three names, you are not in charge. Okay? Amen? I read a quote this week that said, the sole purpose of a child's middle name is so that they know when they are actually in trouble, which I think felt very comforting to me. In the famous play Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare asked the question, what's in a name? And I've been thinking about that this week, and I think there's a lot contained in our names, and it's really, there's power in the art of naming. Often in Scripture, we'll find that when something significant happens, when God makes a way when there was no way, the persons that are there will build an altar, and they will name that place in light of what God has done. And in some cases, as the case with Abram and Jacob, the people themselves change their names to Abraham and Israel. In almost all of our civic ceremonies, there is a naming that goes along with whatever oath is being kept. Judges and elected officials use their full name as a part of their oath that they are taking in their office that they are holding. And we also name in our religious ceremonies. We do it in weddings. I, David, take you, Megan. We do it in funerals. As first you gave John to us, we give John back to you. And we do it in baptisms. Elijah Michael Killingsworth. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Friends, there is power in naming. There's power in a name. And when someone knows your name and calls it, it can be both terrifying and awesome. Your name is so unique to you. It is absolutely your full identity. And so to invoke your name makes no mistake about it, that we are talking about you. To be known and to be called by name can be empowering. It can also be terribly vulnerable. And at times, if we're honest, daunting. Friends, today as we celebrate the beauty and the burden of baptism, know this: that the God who laid the foundations of the universe knows you and calls you by your name. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, let that truth ring deeply in our hearts and souls this morning, that you know us. You know our names, and you are calling us forth into this life of faith. God, give us courage to step out into the deep waters and to say yes to that calling. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, today is the baptism of our Lord Sunday in the life of the church, a day when we recall, as we heard in our gospel reading from Luke, that John the Baptist baptizes Jesus in the waters of the River Jordan. And perhaps you've heard this passage or you've celebrated baptism of our Lord Sunday and you've reflected on this thought as I did this week. Why is it that Jesus, that is God incarnate, God made flesh, why is it that Jesus gets baptized? Certainly he didn't need to be baptized, right? Perhaps he got baptized to show us what this life is like. Perhaps Jesus was baptized in an act of submission and humility in order to show us that Christ does not invite us into a life into which Christ himself is not willing to go. And so today, on the baptism of our Lord Sunday, it is an appropriate and a great opportunity to reflect, for those of us who are baptized, to reflect on our own baptisms, to reflect on the power and the invitation that brings us, that baptisms bring into our lives. And this concept of naming stuck with me this week. It kept nagging at me, this idea of naming. You see, when we baptize someone in the United Methodist Church, we use two names in that baptismal ceremony. The first, one of the names that we invoke is the name of God. We baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there's this scene here that we just heard in Luke 3 that's really powerful to me. Jesus is being baptized by John, and we're told that the Holy Spirit takes on bodily form as if in the shape of a dove and is present. And then we hear the heavens open up and a voice say to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Father, Son, Spirit. All aspects of the Trinity are named as if to say, pay attention. Make no mistake about it, God is here in this moment. Anytime you hear all three aspects of the Trinity named explicitly in Scripture, you know something is up. And in this case, we know that something special is happening in this scene. For me, when we invoke the name of God in our baptismal ceremonies, it's a reminder that this is not our idea. That this moment in baptism is bigger than us. That through the waters of baptism, we are invited into the larger family of God. As we say in the baptismal introduction in our service, we say, through baptism, we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered without price. And so when we name God, it connects us to a larger story. When we name God in baptism, we remind ourselves that the God that is present at our baptism, that the God that was present at Jesus' baptism, is the same Spirit that hovers over the dark waters of creation in Genesis 1. That this is the same God that laid the foundations of the universe. This is the same God that delivered his people from slavery and oppression in Egypt. This is the same God that makes a way when there is no way. The same God that knit you together in your mother's womb and who has been at work in your life since long before you ever were aware of it. Friends, this God, this same God, invites you into the waters of baptism to receive new life. And when we emerge, this is beautiful to me, when we emerge from the waters of baptism, we begin to take on a new identity. We become formed and molded into carrying that name of God for ourselves. We are invited into a new family. We are given a new framework through which to see ourselves. Jesus rises from the waters, and the voice from heaven says, "You are my Son, whom I love." Other translations say, "You are my Son, the Beloved." Beloved. Beloved. This is our new identity through the waters of baptism, our identities as beloved sons and daughters of God that emerge from the waters of baptism are designed to be our primary identities. Higher than our citizenship to a particular country, higher than any political affiliation or ideology, higher than culture, race, or creed, higher even than our family of origin, higher than our circumstances and our privilege. The identity that we carry as beloved ought to reign over everything else. God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, invites us into new life through the waters of baptism to find our identities as beloved children of God. But friends, God's is not the only name that we utter. The other name that we say at a baptismal ceremony, the other name that was said at your baptismal service, was yours. We name the specific person who is being baptized to name that this is a specific moment, that this is a unique experience to that person. You see, baptism is not some divine cookie-cutter mentality where we're all stamped into the same image of God and we're not the same copies of one another. No, we are initiated into this life marked by God, but still God has invited you, particularly you, all three names, you. God invites you. See, it's not just that God had some task to do, needed a couple of people, and took whoever showed up first just to have some warm bodies fill the spots. God needs you in all your specifics, in all your particularities, in all your nuances. God needs and calls you. God invites us into this new life and invites us to bring our whole self, to use our passions and our gifts to follow after Jesus in a life that is unique to us. What a wonderful and humbling calling. And friends, there are times, if we are honest, there are times where, just like the heaviness when mama calls your name, that the call of the baptized can feel heavy and burdensome. As it turns out, the waters of baptism are quite deep and can get rough at times. Consider John the Baptist's journey. You see, John could have easily made a name for himself. In fact, he was kind of already doing so by no desire of his own. People were following after John, saying, "John, you are the Messiah. You are the one for whom we've been waiting." We hear in other versions of Scripture and other parts of Scripture that John had his own disciples that would kind of not leave him alone. They followed him everywhere he went. But John saw what was happening. John realized that there was a greater story at play in his life. And John saw that God was the major player in his life and not him. See, it would have been easy for John to bask in the celebrity and the power of the moment, to say, "Yes, it is about me. Follow me, I have the answers." But John realized that God was capable of doing much more than John ever would have been able to do on his own. And so John jumps into this life, jumps into the deep waters of baptism with all that he has. But you even heard in our reading today that it doesn't take John very long at all to realize that this call, that this life in God can be at times quite costly. You see, John was a prophet and had gifts of truth-telling and speaking truth to power that were used absolutely by God. He was compelled to call out injustice and oppression, and his identity in God led him to speak truth to power. When he criticized Herod, he was thrown in jail. We know later in the Gospel of Luke, we hear that John was eventually killed for his convictions and his beliefs. John realized the tall task that was before him, and yet he lived out a life of simplicity, humility, and conviction until the very end. There were certainly days when John felt the weight of this calling, days that I'm sure he wanted to give up. But what would have happened if John said no? What would have happened if John gave up on this life in God when it got hard and heavy? What witness might the world have lost? See, friends, John lived a life that was uniquely his and yet one that can be admired by all who seek to live a faith-filled life. But John is not alone. The family of God found in the bonds of baptism has many brothers and sisters who have said yes to God when God called their name. I'm sure you can name several who are near and dear to your heart, friends and family members who are your heroes of the faith. We have other examples in our world witness of the baptized, such as Archbishop Oscar Romero, Desmond Tutu, Mother Teresa, Pauli Murray, Billy Graham, Rachel Held Evans are some of those names for me, and so many more. Friends, each of these persons that I named lived a life that was courageous and faithful in their own time and place. They lived a life that only they could fulfill in their specific context and with their specific nuance. God called them to live fully into their identities as beloved. God invited them to say yes to the invitation that was before them. God knew each of these saints of the church and our saints of our Christian witness. God knew each of their names and called them forth. But friends, God knows your name too. God knows your name too. And friends, I believe that God calls each of you out into the waters as well. The God of the universe not only knows you, but the fact that God calls us by name is a mystery of grace, and to me it changes everything. I believe that God calls us out into the waters of our baptism to live fully into our identities as beloved children of God, formed in our particular time and place. in all of our uniqueness, in all of our particularities, in all of our nuance. God calls each of us by name. God calls you, beloved. How will we respond? In a moment, we'll have an opportunity to remember our baptisms with thanksgiving. As you come down for communion, I'm going to invite you to the font to dip your hands into the water and to remember your baptism, to remember the love and the grace of God that's been present in your life, some of you since you were an infant. Come and touch these waters, friends, and remember that God knows you by name and has called you out into the life of faith. I invite you to dip your hands into the waters, and you can make a cross on your forehead or on your palm or whatever symbol might be significant to you. And at the bottom of the font, there are some stones. And I want you to take a stone as well as a reminder that sometimes this beautiful and grace-filled life can feel heavy. But friends, the good news is that we don't have to carry these things alone, that God is with us, that the community of the baptized is with us, that we are called to this life of community, and we are called to this life of grace together. And friends, if you are not baptized, I still invite you to come and touch the waters. Touch the waters of grace. Touch and feel the cool and refreshing love that is found in the waters of God. And if you feel compelled to say yes to this invitation that God is inviting you into this life that is beautiful and sometimes heavy and messy, then please talk to somebody about it. Talk to a pastor. Tell somebody that you are ready to say yes to God's invitation. And know this, that God knows your name and God loves you completely. Friends, I'm going to invite us now into a liturgy of remembrance as a part of our baptismal service. You only have one line, and it's not in your hymnal necessarily. I'll just guide you through it. But just hear these words of invitation. First of all, I love that all the good Methodists immediately went to their hymnals. That was great. That was a fantastic moment. That was wonderful. That's a moment that I'll sear in my memory for a long time. Page 33. No, I've got the words this morning, and so friends, listen to these words. Sisters and brothers in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, God's Spirit has been poured out upon the water. Water poured over and immersing us, water that flows freely for all who are willing to receive it. Water from the streams of God's saving power and justice. Water that brings hope to all who thirst for righteousness. Water that refreshes life, nurtures growth, and offers new birth. Friends, today we come to these waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence, to Christ who has raised us, the Spirit who has birthed us, and the Creator who is making all things new. And in our renewed commitment and remembrance of God's grace, we also renew the vows that were uttered at our baptism, reminding us of the work that is yet to be done. And so, friends, on behalf of the whole church, I'm going to ask you these questions that were uttered and affirmed either by your parents or sponsors, or if you were baptized as an adult, the words that you said yes to. But, friends, what an occasion to say yes and to recommit ourselves to the work that God calls us to. And so hear these questions and respond likewise. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you agree to that, will you say, I do? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil and justice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you say yes to that, will you say, I do? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And if you agree to that, will you say, I do? And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If you agree to that, will you say, I will? Amen. Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Holy Spirit, pour out on these waters. Let these waters be for us drops of your mercy. Let these waters remind us of your righteousness and justice. Let these waters renew us in the resurrection power of Jesus. Let these waters make us long for your coming reign this day and forevermore. Through Christ our Lord, friends. Amen.